really appreciate it. And thank you very much for the opportunity to speak here today. What wonderful worship that was. I thought that was just awesome, just coming into God's presence, so to speak. And God, the fact that this God, this huge, great God, wants us in His presence. He wants us there. He's spent so much time and effort. He spent His own blood to reconcile us with Him because He wants us. He wants us. He wants us there. He wants us close. Psalm 105, verse 1 says, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done." Isn't that awesome? What an awesome God we serve. And today I want to tell you a bit more about Mission Aviation Fellowship. I'll let you in on some of the stuff during the talk as we go. But Mission Aviation Fellowship, firstly and foremost, is something that God birthed in Kiwis' hearts. It started here in New Zealand, and it's really, really special. They do a great, great work all over the globe, and it's a privilege to actually speak to you about them. But just before we get there, I just want to give you a bit of a background to our family, just so that you know where we come from. Obviously, the accent will never leave us. So we come from South Africa, revelation number one. But my wife, Trunel, that's sitting at the sound desk there, she was birthed in a place called Bloemfontein. That's South Africa Central. And she was qualified as a missionary teacher and then also as a cardiac physiologist. And she practiced in Cape Town and then also in Waikato Hospital here in Hamilton. I was born in a town near to Cape Town, Stellenbosch. It's wine country, beautiful place to grow up. And then I qualified as a telecommunication technician. And we went and specialized in big networks, countrywide networks, and we owned a business for some 12 years. I went into Africa and went in to stabilize countries where telecommunication was actually lacking or the countrywide network was in jeopardy, and stayed in a lot of places. There you can see some of them. Some of these you might not want to go to. It's some of the countries that are a bit off the beat and track, you could say, but we battled doing first world country technology in a third world setting, and that was something that was a theme all over all the time. It repeated and repeated and repeated, and I had lots of questions for God about this, all these exploits in Africa, but more about that later. But then during that time also, I got my private pilot's license. Stellenbosch is a beautiful place to fly, and it was a dream from school time as well, and I just loved it. I loved flying, and it was just something that I thought God has just blessed me with tremendously. And then in 2004, myself and Trunel got married, and that was awesome. And soon after, our first child followed. He was awesome. He was really awesome. He was no trouble at all. But then he got followed by some others who were a bit more demanding. Okay. And some of the, well, all of them you can see here today, grace be to God. And in South Africa, family is a huge thing. We had lots of family, and family was definitely a focus of everything that you do in South Africa. But in 2016, God clearly indicated to us that we are moving to New Zealand, and we also became New Zealand citizens this year. And we... It's awesome. Thank you very much. And we love it here. I mean, what's not to like? Camping, hiking, coffee, it's all good. Even our family love it here. You know, the grandparents came over. They came and spent some time. We had a lovely home in Hamilton where we could renovate the house, and they spent some time here. They just loved New Zealand. And we were All good. I was busy setting up a new retail store. I was busy in fire and security in Hamilton with a big outfit there. And then we also owned later on an appliance repair service in Hamilton. And things were great. But guess what? God had a new adventure for us. And we discerned that we are going to MAF and MAF in Papua New Guinea, of all places. So, in 2021, when this all came about, we clearly discerned that God was moving us onto MAF. Clearly it came. I had this scripture, and I used to speak about this scripture as my annoying scripture. I don't know if you've ever had a scripture that you wish you had a name to it. You know, it would be great if it was for John, maybe for Mary or Lisa or someone else, you know. But this scripture came up for me. It was incredible. I love God, you know. But this scripture came up all the time. And it's very annoying when it comes like that, because surely this is meant for someone else, you know. But not for me. But this was for me. And that scripture came out of Matthew 16, verse 26. And that says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" And that was so interesting to me. It was such a... it was such an awakening for me, such a wake-up moment, that God was actually telling me, "Quibus, there's something I want you to do, but it's different. It's different. You have to wake up. I want to move you on to something." And it reminds me a lot of the Monopoly story. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Monopoly story. A guy called James Dobson, he was quite big in child psychology, Christian psychology. And he had this thing when he grew up. He loved playing Monopoly with his grandmother. It was lovely. It was a very engaging game. He simply loves Monopoly, and it's great, you know. But there was this slight little issue, this niggly thing with this game, and that was that his grandmother, although very loving, dear grandmother that really would do anything for her grandchildren, when it came to Monopoly, things were different. This is where she was the expert. And she would time after time after time annihilate them, you know, on the Monopoly board, you know, every time. And this got a bit under James Dobson's skin. So this one term, he went away and he played Monopoly with his friend unceasingly. He studied, he tried every move that he could, and he learned to be really unscrupulous, and he could win a Monopoly game. And sure enough, next holiday, he came to Grandma's house, and out came the Monopoly board. And this was the moment. And he played hard. And he was ruthless. No love being spared here. No, today was the day. And sure enough, to his grandmother's amazement, he wiped her off the table. It was carnage. And soon enough, he was the winner. And there it was for everybody to see. And she sat back and said to him, "Yep, that's it. You've won." And then she uttered some words that to this day haunts him or stays with him. And because he wanted the board to stay exactly like it was. Obviously now you gold plate this board. This is the board. You won this game. You know, you won Grandma. This never happens. But that day his grandmother said, "And now, James, it all goes back in the box." And it struck him. But he didn't quite know why. But years and years later, he figured out that that was a life lesson. It was a life lesson because, like Monopoly, after we'd finished and done here, it all goes back in the box. And it was a lesson to me as well. So today we'll be speaking about Mission Aviation Fellowship. And specifically about Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea, I don't know, do you know where Papua New Guinea is? It's great. Kiwis know where things are in South Africa. They keep telling us, like, is it like sort of West Africa or, you know, like, but yeah. Okay, so Papua New Guinea is just north of Australia. They speak, the country, as you would see it, is divided up between Papua New Guinea, a sovereign country that New Zealand actually helps quite a bit, and then also Australia. And then to the left side of the island is Papua, which is just a province of Indonesia. But in Papua New Guinea proper, they speak about all of plus minus around about 830 different languages. Okay, which is quite a bit. That works out, if my maths are correct, it works out to be about 11-12% of the world's languages that are all spoken in one country. These are quite diverse languages, and they can't really communicate to other tribes all that well. And there is a very, very limited road network in the country due to the topography. So people can't readily come and visit another tribe. And you can think what happens is the suspicion and stuff. If you can't understand them, you never get to meet them, but they're right there next door. Then suspicion and stuff like that sets in, and it makes for a really, really dark living condition country. Okay, and Mission Aviation Fellowship has been busy there for a number of years to actually alleviate this and actually bring the light into that those circumstances. If we can have that first video, we'll show a short little video that will just give you a snippet of what MAF is all about. Stuff. So, like I said earlier, MAF was actually born in the hearts of two Kiwi blokes that came back from World War II. They came back with this burning desire, which God birthed in their hearts, to actually, rather than using aircraft to actually bomb cities and civilizations, to actually use aircraft to bring the gospel where it could never have gone otherwise. And more than 75 years later, it's still going strong. Initially, they couldn't get a lot of traction here in New Zealand on the idea. They took it to America, who really adopted and got behind the idea. And to this day, America still thinks that they started Mission Aviation Fellowship, but it actually did originate here. And like I said, more than 75 years later, it's still going strong. We are operating in about 30 different countries worldwide at any given point. It changes. We are looking towards God all the time to ask Him in which country should we be busy. Some of the countries, like you'll see on the map there, is clearly indicated and there for everybody to see. And some of the countries will never appear on that map because these are closed countries, countries where the gospel is certainly not welcome, but we will not let that stop us, and we will ask God always for a way to actually go and serve in even these places that are supposedly closed to the gospel, to actually bring whatever MAF can bring. So we have around about 130 aircraft. That also fluctuates as operational needs go up and down. We downsize and we upsize as we need it. And we will take in missionaries, we will take in food, we will take in doctors, and we will evacuate critically ill patients, all for the cause of getting the gospel to actually gain a foothold in places that otherwise it would never have been able to do. You see, missions in New Zealand may look a lot different than for a third world country where they've never heard about God at all. It's not the passing out of a tract. It's not just inviting someone for supper. It's much more than that. These are places where actually they need to see the gospel lived out, and sometimes lived out over years and decades before people will be open to actually invite Christ into their hearts. I'll show you a video shortly. This happened in a place called Mokondoma in Papua, just as Papua New Guinea is on the right. It just happened on the left. The circumstances are very much the same as in Papua New Guinea. But in this place, these people have battled for a long time to get an airstrip there. Because what MAF seeks to do is actually to make the missionaries sustainable in all these places. A lot of the time what you find is missionaries will identify a people group that God has put on their heart to actually go and evangelize. But then they will walk into the jungle, into the desert, wherever they are, and go and live amongst those people. And sometimes they need to spend years and years there learning the language, trying to make rough notes of how the language is could be written. And then in Papua New Guinea, what will happen is that will be garnished by Wycliffe Bible translators, and they'll bring us a Bible or a New Testament or a part of the Bible in the language of the local people. And then the missionary can set up a school and teach these people in their local language the Bible, and then also some language that will actually allow them to communicate with other tribes in the area, which is absolutely priceless, because you just see that people can communicate and then there can be some good vibes going between the tribes. Otherwise, the fact is just that suspicion just grows and the end is not good. So I want you to listen as well. When you see the video, I want you to listen how long these missionaries had already spent there. And then also you'll hear a bit of a testimony given about a local person, what he understood from the gospel being shared with him and what he was going to do with it. If you can put on that video, that'd be great. Thanks.
Hi, we are Tim and Rebecca Ingalls. We serve here in Papua, Indonesia with New Tribes Mission.
My name is Mike Wild, and I work among the Wano people. These are all my friends in the Wano tribe, and we're right now up in the hamlet of Mokondoma.
All right, today is one of those great days. We get to go in and open a brand new airstrip. They've been working on this strip for a couple years. The name of the place is Mokondoma, so we're looking forward to going in, making a first landing, and serving the New Tribes missionaries there, the Ingalls and the Wild. So this is one of those awesome days for MAF.
Yeah, we've been working here with the Wano people for about 9 years now, and our goal here is to plant a church that can reach out and reach the rest of the Wano people. The people that actually, at this site where we're at now, had thought about building an airstrip and had started work maybe 10, 15 years ago, but had given up on that, and so we got that going, and over the past 2 years, the people have worked on this airstrip. We didn't do a lot of the work. It was the tribal people working with us, and we helped them a little bit with food to be able to work, but it was all our project here, and we worked together on it. 2 years of work to get this thing done, and to see the plane circling by the first time, it's just surreal. It's just like, it's happening, and he comes in and lands, and you just feel the emotions. You know, it's so cool to have an airplane land, touch the ground.
For building this airstrip was so we'd have a way to take the gospel out from our area here, and we could take our teachers and our translated materials and take it out and do outreach.
Bogum ye kecak yo, ye kecak nama an gwen nona wene nogi kupik adika.
Ye gwen kok,
kupik bok. Nama buka gini ne, an ne nokok megi no yo, beteng kecak. Sepuluh hukum, an ne mini wat kenira. Mini ne bogum di nora, mini da tu ye cut bane, mini an ne nokok nakodo kik ni wene gwe, bogum di nora ye curat. Ye cut bane, wene no pana yo tengara kan yo mini bane pangong kotik neme. Bokoyum di nyom ampir kera. Nit ne di buka gin ne bogum di wigania ko ya. Mono kera neme. Mini nit yo ngwa ni corak bane mini an no bagi api yo kicarak neme.
How cool is that? You see, the local person understood something. He understood something about the gospel. For all of us to become believers, someone had to tell us. Somebody had to come and tell him. And he wants to go and tell others. And he's already made good on his promise. And they've used the MAF aircraft to actually reach out to other tribes in the area. And there are already believers coming out of that work that he has started. So today, we'd like you to take away from here what MAF is all about. That's all good. You know that we are serving in the smallest of the smallest communities, those people that really doesn't have a road going to them, that really doesn't have a school. There's no doctor there. And their only hope is to actually have a missionary there that can tell them the word of God. Okay. We need to tell you about that. We need to also inform you that you can become involved with MAF. You yourself. And obviously, with us working in 30 different countries, there might very well be a spot for you personally to come with us. So speak to me afterwards if God is stirring something. We'd love to take you with. But there are also other ways that you can be involved. You can be involved by just filling in a contact card after this. And there you can sign up to be part of our prayer team. And I want to encourage you with this. My grandmother, when she was 92, said to my sister that there wasn't something in her life that made her think that she wanted to go and be with God. You see, my grandmother actually loved God. She spent hours and hours and hours praying. She spent hours praying to God every day before it got called intercessor or anything. There was no name for it. It was just this old woman that didn't quite know when to not go on with what her latest grandchild, you know, got up to. And she just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And that, in the end, I must tell you, that got me saved. That really got me saved. So I want to encourage you, if God's stirring something in your heart and you think, ah, but I can't go, never fear. You, in your quiet place, you can accomplish great things. Take things to God and do not shut up. He loves it. He loves it. He loves it. He loves to get us in His presence and just keep on going and going. You'll hear it in the things that Jesus said when He was on earth. He would say things like the guy that went and knocked. Do you remember that one? Where he went and knocked late at night because a visitor had arrived at his house and he didn't have bread. But he went and knocked. And even though his friend told him, you know what? It's late. I'm in bed. Go away. You know, like, you're bothering me. This guy, in the end, just kept on and kept on and kept on. And you know what? That friend got up out of bed and gave him the loaf of bread. There's another time where Jesus was speaking. Jesus was saying that this widow was going to this judge, this corrupt judge that didn't fear God. And this judge wouldn't give her any protection against the people that were legally coming against her. But she just kept on and on and on. And this judge actually in the end said, oh goodness, you know, like, let's just give her some peace. I mean, she will weary me out. I will answer her. And he gave her what she needed. God wants to have interaction with me and you. He wants it. And He wants us not to stop. He wants that stick-to-itiveness that is so prevalent in New Zealand. Kiwis are great at it. And I want to actually tell you, come on, just stick to it with God. Just go to Him in your closet, go to Him daily and ask Him, what has He got for you? You might be very, very surprised. In October of this year, I got, or just before October, in September, I got a phone call from my eldest sister's son. And I said, oh, that's great hearing your voice. I haven't spoken to you. And he said, no, this is not a good call. My youngest sister in America is in ICU, unresponsive. And I was shocked. I mean, she's all of 58. She's 6 years older than me. But of the family, she's definitely the health fanatic. You know, she's the one that's always lean and trim, and there's nothing mentioned of sugar anywhere near her, or she doubles up and says, nah, that's not for me. You know, she was the healthy one. And sure enough, the condition never improved, and her twin brother and me met up in America. And we sat there by her bedside, and we were really asking God for her to come back. But God took her. And it was such a moment for me to think that we think this life of ours will just carry on and on and on. And yet none of us, not even one of us, know the date, the time, the minute, the hour that God comes calling. And if we want to let our lives mean anything, it needs to be a life with God, in a two-way relationship with Him. Something like the worship that we had this morning. Awesome. Awesome. Just God inviting us into His presence. He wants us there. He wants us there. He wants to pull us. He wants to have you. Ask Him. Ask Him in your quiet time, what should you get involved in? It might be that the lady at Countdown behind the counter needs a word from God and she needs it today. It might be. It might be when you go to Farmers, you know, that you meet up with an old friend and she really needs to hear something from God. She really needs purpose in her life. It might be that you want your circumstances to change, but actually God is telling you, go out and mean something for someone else. Give out a bit. You might be like me, stuffed full of the goodness, but not flowing, you know, not giving out to anybody. Then nothing more can get into the cup because nothing is going out. Start to give out a bit and God will fill your cup. He'll let it overflow and you'll be amazed to see what He does in your life. So, to come back to today, afterwards we'll be there with a coffee and tea, and you can actually come up and you can fill in a contact card. Pray for us, please. We really, really need the prayer. The enemy is not happy. If you can think how the enemy has kept these people in darkness for decades and hundreds of years, he doesn't want people to go in there with the gospel. I will not be serving in a flying capacity. People ask me that all the time. I will be looking after maintenance and the corporate side of things in the country. We have a huge operation there with basically about 10 aircraft and about twice as many pilots. We find that sometimes with a 4-minute to a 9-minute flight, we can save people 2 days worth of walking. It's well and truly worth it. But there's a lot of organization that needs to go on, and we really, really would appreciate your prayers, please. You can tick that box. You can also tick a box that will give us your email address, and that will give you a newsletter 4 times a year. We will not spam your inbox. 4 times a year, you'll get a newsletter. Then you can see how this unexpected journey for the Fanamarva family actually plays out. We never thought that we would be coming to New Zealand to go to Papua New Guinea. This was very much our end destination, New Zealand. Thank you very much. We love it here, and we'll always be back. As part of what God's done in our lives, we used to live in Hamilton, and God clearly indicated that we'd have to change things up a bit. And we moved to Taranaki, to Havara, and we've got our house there, and we'll be back. But for now, for the next 4 years, we will be committing as a family to go to Papua New Guinea and serve there with MAF. So if you want to support us with prayer, if you want our newsletter, please sign up. There is a box also that you can tick if you want to support us financially. Mission Aviation Fellowship New Zealand, all the overseas staff of MAF needs to get their own support to actually sustain them while they're there. And all our support actually goes to MAF themselves. You'll get a tithe receipt at the end of the year, something that you can claim back from tax if you want. But that allows them to actually give us a house and give us some money for groceries and stuff like that. So tick that box if God's stirring it. But I want you to take away from today that just like 2 Kiwis came back, and a lot of people came back from World War II, and it's a huge thing to have survived World War II. Make no mistake. It's a huge thing to actually be blessed by God to come back from something like that. But most of those people then went on with their lives. But God birthed this small thought in their minds. And never, ever, I think, did they think that 75, 76 years later, this organization that God birthed through them would still be going from strength to strength, reaching people on all the outskirts of the globe with a well and true gospel of Jesus Christ, wanting to reconcile people with Him. Please, if God births something in you today, take it seriously. Take it to God in prayer. It might be going to a prayer meeting. It might be making soup for a soup kitchen. It might be anything. But take it seriously. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to activate your faith. And He wants to be in your vicinity. God loves it. He was willing to actually sacrifice sitting on that throne, coming in here to pay the ultimate penalty for my and your sins. He will want to be with you. So take that opportunity and take God seriously in your own life.